The word today is prayer. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. God gives many gifts to His people, and one of the most precious is His personal interest in our well-being. He cares about us and invites us to come to Him in prayer. Here from our archives with more on this great privilege is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Prayer.
Our Lord Jesus Christ has given to His followers and believers some enormous privileges. I mean, we have so many privileges. We have the peace of mind that God gives us in knowing that we're forgiven. We have the joy of looking forward to heaven where we will spend eternity with Him. We have the fellowship of the Christian church, the companionship of other believers as we work together for the Lord. There are so many privileges, and one of these that is very, very special is the privilege of prayer. I'm telling you, it is so wonderful to know we have a personal God and a God that wants to hear from us, and a God, when He does hear from us, who is able and powerful and loving, that He wants to bless us and help us and answer our prayers. You know, it's inconceivable to imagine that someone would talk on a phone for 5 minutes without hearing an answer on the other end. You know, we expect answers. And if we don't get any answer, we hang up. We assume the connection has been broken. Well, keep that in mind when you pray. And when we're talking about waiting for an answer, make sure you understand the timing of God. I've talked about that already on these broadcasts in the past. Recognize that a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day with God. Don't assume that His timing is going to fit your timing. It almost always is different, but His timing is always perfect. That's the important thing. You rely on His timing. Now, when He gives you an answer, and there will be an answer if it's a true prayer, if it's really a prayer, prayed within God's will, prayed in the spirit of faith, believing that it will be answered, and prayed in the name of Jesus, the only way we can approach the Father, then those prayers will be answered. Sometimes they'll be answered yes. Sometimes they'll be answered no. God knows something we may think or want isn't for our welfare and isn't for our good. Or He may simply say later, you know, getting back to His timing when it's going to be best for us. I think one of the things that's very important for Christians to do is to find a private place for prayer. You notice in Matthew, the 6th chapter, where we have the Lord's Prayer, turn to Matthew 6 sometime. If you don't have a Bible handy right now, jot down Matthew 6, verse 6, because in verse 6 it talks about having a private place for prayer. I have a number of places for me that I enjoy praying. Probably my most favorite place is the upstairs bedroom, our master bedroom. And at that window, as I look out the window at night, I can see stars unless it's stormy and cloudy. But I love looking up into the heavens. One of the great times in my life for a period of prayer was when I climbed Mount Sinai in the Sinai Peninsula. I'll tell you, away from all the lights of the city, away from any type of light except the heavenly lights, I'll tell you, the darkness is so profound, and you look up in the sky. I have never seen so many stars in my entire life. And I've been around this country, and I've been in different states, and you know, we call the broad sky states and so on, all the different places where we see the heavens, and they are truly beautiful, but I've never seen the heavens as beautiful as I did out there in the middle of the Sinai Desert. Anyway, find yourself a place, whether it's in a desolate spot. Maybe there's a garden. I know one pastor friend who loves to pray while he's gardening in his little garden. Find a spot where you feel close to God. Maybe your church is open and they'll allow you to come in and sit there and pray. Different places have prayer chapels in the building we're going to build for our radio ministry. We're going to have a prayer chapel there where people can come in and pray. Well, one of the things we pray for in verse 10 is the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, every time you say the Lord's Prayer, you're praying that God's kingdom will come. Now, on one of our recent programs, we talked about the fact that Judgment Day is coming. And that's part of this prayer. We pray that he will come and take us to our eternal home. But there's more involved here. The kingdom of God is not only the kingdom of glory. That's the church triumphant. And that's the church victorious. But in this prayer, we also pray for the kingdom of grace. Now, a lot of people in different denominations call this the church militant. That means the Holy Christian Church, where the grace of God is present in the sacraments and in the preaching of God's Word, where God's Holy Spirit comes and works faith. And not only faith, but also then growth into the believer's life as they hear God's Word and mature in God's Word. So a lot of this prayer, then, is praying for God to be present with his church, praying that he will bless the spreading of his word, like in these broadcasts or any other ministry that proclaims the word of God, and also praying for the kingdom of power. We need to remember that, especially in times of war. Now, this broadcast goes around the world, and we're in different foreign countries, and maybe your country right now isn't at war. But you still understand the meaning of war, and a lot of times when countries are at war, we get the impression that somehow our armies are in charge. Well, the Bible makes it very clear, God is in charge. God is the Almighty Ruler who controls all things, and he controls the destiny of our nation as well as any other nation. And so we pray in the Lord's Prayer that God's kingdom of power will also be among us, and that his will be done. Later in that prayer, we ask that his will be done in our lives the same way it's done in heaven. Well, how perfectly is God's will done in heaven? Of course, you know the answer to that. That's a rhetorical question. We all know the answer. God's will is done perfectly in heaven. And that's what we're praying in our prayer. We're saying, God, in my life, in my associations, in the everyday work day of my life, I ask that your will be done 100% the same way it's done in heaven, that you will bless me and guide me and lead me. So we pray for all these kind of things. In verse 11, we pray for daily bread, which is not only the physical, but also the spiritual things we need for our lives, anything, any need that we have. In verse 12, we pray about forgiveness, one of the important things in the life of a Christian. Notice that in this prayer, we're admitting and we're saying that if we don't forgive others, we can't very well expect to be forgiven by God. Because when he forgives us, he expects us to pass that forgiveness on to others. And that's why we say in this prayer, we're doing that, Lord. We are obeying your word. We are forgiving those that sin against us. In the same way, Lord, forgive us, because we know you and your love must first forgive us. You see, everything, the origin of everything is with God. Our faith comes from God, and we speak the words of God to other people. The Holy Spirit works so that others can believe. We receive God's love. That's what we call in our conversion. And so we, in turn, pass that love on to others to illustrate that we are the people of God. We receive forgiveness from God. And in this prayer, we're acknowledging and we pass that forgiveness on to others because we know that's what God has asked us to do. If we're not doing that, then you can be sure you're not being forgiven either, because you're not living up to what God has asked of you and what he expects of you as he lives in your life. If he is there, the good works will follow, one of which is forgiving others. Then we come to verse 13 in this beautiful prayer. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. You know, these thoughts are so beautiful that we have a Lord that already knows the future. He's already there. He is already there. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. We don't have to worry about what's going to happen. If we follow him and let him do the leading, I think the most important thing of all in our lives is to have our priorities right. How many people do you know that have things mixed up? They place great importance on superficial things that'll never last, that are not eternal. And their faith and their Christian conduct and their life, they treat as if it's insignificant. I want to refer especially those people to verse 33 in Matthew 6. Verse 33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God." I think that's one of the main priorities. If ever you were counseling a newly married couple, if ever you were trying to raise a teenager, if ever you were sending a teenager away to college, if ever you're starting a business, whatever it is you're going into, seek first the kingdom of God. He knows you need all these other things, and you'll have them as he chooses to bless you. But seek him first. Without him, you've got nothing. You have nothing. And then verse 34 gives the antidote, so to speak, to this. And if you do seek him first, you will know there's nothing to worry about. You won't have anything to worry about. Prayer and obedience go together, you know. And I hope and pray that as you pray, you will have a personal relationship with God, one that you speak to him as a loving father, as he has asked us to do in this prayer, and one that you will truly enjoy because of all the privileges that God gives to his children. And there are many, many, many wonderful ones. The privilege of prayer is fantastic.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.